the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up this week, we're going to talk to Jamie East. He's been at Talk Radio and before it Virgin for the last 4.5 years. But just announced this week, he's done his last show and it's his decision to leave. And he tweeted, "It's clear that Talk Radio has a clearly defined idea of where it's heading. Sadly, not many of those ideals were a great fit." We'll also hear about his daily podcast, The Smart Seven, which is doing very well at the moment. And never mind this week in history, this week in the present, we've got a future radio moment coming up at the end of the podcast with an emotional farewell from Keith Skews this week.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.
First, Radio Today's Roy Martin is here. Welcome to the new style podcast, Roy. No Trevor, no David, no James. It's just me and you.
Now, if I had some echo on my mixer preset, I would make it sound like we were in a big empty room all on our own. Maybe you can do it in post-production. It's an empty room. And also, you didn't give me my full title when you introduced me. So is this part of the new podcast?
Sorry, executive president and whatever you are, is that
exactly
what we're supposed to call you?
Actually, no, don't give it to me. That's it's ridiculous. That's fine, as you were. I'm very well, by the way. How are you?
I don't think I even asked. Yes, I'm not too bad either. Shall we talk about some radio stuff that's been going on this week?
Well, it is the Radio Today programme.
It is. And we've learnt about plans for this year's radio festival, which was announced a few weeks ago. But we've got the dates now and when it's going to be on. And of course, it's happening online this year, 9th to the 13th of November. But it's going to be a bit different.
Well, one thing that's different, which nobody's kind of mentioned yet, is the name. It's not the Radio Festival anymore.
What?
Did you know?
No. I missed that.
It's the Radio Academy Festival.
Oh, okay.
So in previous years, it's always been the Radio Festival, but I noticed a couple of weeks ago there was a couple of different mentions, contradictory mentions of Radio Festival and Radio Academy Festival, but the last announcement that was made was very clear, it's the Radio Academy Festival, so they've taken ownership of it.
I'm not sure it really matters, but anyway, it's about the content. Nile Rodgers will be there at the festival. Lorna Clark, Jordan and Perry from Kiss, these are among the first names announced for it. And it's going to be happening over a period of a few days every afternoon. This is going to be interesting.
Where will they be? Where will Nile Rodgers be? Are they going to be in a place that we can go to?
Well, they're going to be at your house.
Mine? I didn't know knew where I live.
Nile Rodgers is going to be at home in Connecticut. There you go. He's going to be talking about his new Apple Music One show, which is called Deep Hidden Meaning Radio.
Ooh, fantastic. So it's going to be afternoon sessions, 9th to the 13th, and usual stuff that from the festival, such as presentations, interviews, and panels. And how much will it be, Stuart, for me to watch all this? Well, not me, because I'll probably get a free one, but how much would it be for everybody else?
You should be so lucky. It's £25 to you, sir, as a Radio Academy member, and 20% of the ticket revenue.
I'm not a member.
Are you not? Okay. 20% of the ticket revenue goes to the Audio and Radio Emergency Fund as well. It promises to be an interesting week.
Fantastic.
We talked about Radio 1 Dance. Moving on. We talked about Radio 1 Dance last week, but we've heard from Ofcom on this in the last few days, and they say, nope, we're not going to look into this. There's no need for a public interest test. Commercial radio was complaining that Radio 1 Dance is going to take some of their audience, but Ofcom say, nah, it's fine.
Yeah, but they have said they're going to look into BBC Sounds, which may be even worse because that's like the grandfather. So what are they going to do with BBC Sounds? Do you think they'll just do a little report and that'll be the end of it? Or is Ofcom going to shut down BBC Sounds?
No, I don't think Ofcom is going to shut down BBC Sounds. It's saying it's going to review it. And, you know, they said it's perhaps grown, perhaps differently to how Ofcom had envisaged. So they're just going to review things and then we'll report back later this year. The BBC as well, by the way, said it's, you know, had all the approvals from Ofcom to do Radio 1 Dance anyway, and it wants, you know, it's going to be using old content, so existing content from other radio stations or, you know, pre-recorded programs or whatever, so there's nothing exclusive and new. And then Ofcom has agreed with that and said, yeah, that's fine, therefore we don't think it's going to make a serious dint in what commercial radio does. Interesting. But it's out on the 9th of October on BBC Sounds is Radio 1 Dance, so we'll watch that with interest.
What was interesting about all this is that Ofcom said in one of their reports last year that BBC must do more to attract a younger audience. So Ofcom says, you must launch Radio 1 Dance, kind of, and now they're having to investigate them for launching Radio 1 Dance. So it's all a bit weird.
Meanwhile, Mr. Jam has left Radio 1 suddenly. He'd been there for the last 15 years. Rhys Parkinson has now taken over One Extra Drive Time. Charlie Hedges is now doing Radio 1 Dance Anthems on Saturdays. So where's Mr. Jam going? You have Apple Music, Kiss, Capital Extra? I think he's got some broadcasting left in him.
Definitely, yeah. And you don't just leave because you've nowhere to go, unless, of course, you're fired. But it looks like it's his decision to go. And, of course, we know where his old boss is now, don't we? Mr. Ben Cooper.
Where's he?
Where Bauer? Is Ben Cooper now? He's at Bauer, of course. So you never know. He could end up at Kiss. Or, like you just suggested, he could be joining some of his old chums off to Apple. I'm sure we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, we had an interesting headline on Radio Today this week that Bauer wants to move Northallerton.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it's just there's so many characters we can put in a headline to match our site style. And yeah, but it does fully explain. They don't want to literally move the town. They want to move the Ofcom version of where it thinks Northallerton is, if that makes sense. And the same with Shaftesbury as well. Which means it's going to be in a different approved area. You're near Northallerton, so you can probably tell us more about it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird old license. So it started out as, I think it was going to be called BTN when they applied for it, which was Beedale, yeah. Thirsk, Northallerton, wasn't it? It was a TLRC license win back in, it's probably about 2004, 2005, something like that. And then they launched it as Minster, Northallerton, and it had a breakfast show and a mid-morning show of its own. And then the rest of the day it took Minster from York. But then it was part of Star in Darlington, with Darlington and Durham and Northallerton. So it was in the northeast, and then it swapped back to Minster when Star was sold to Rathergood a few years ago. So Northallerton is in North Yorkshire, but Ofcom's northeast approved area has Northallerton in it, and I think it does get Tyne Tees, telly and stuff like that. So technically it should currently have a show coming from the northeast, but it hasn't had one for the last few years because it's just been a relay of Minster from York. So have UKRD actually been breaking the rules as well as Bauer now are, because their regional drive time show for Greatest Hits Radio in Northallerton is coming from Leeds?
And I think the confusion for this came from an Ofcom document from 2 years ago, which had contradictory information, which said that it was in one part in the table or the list, and then somewhere else on a graph it said somewhere else. So there was an Ofcom mistake, wasn't there, at some point down the line, which probably led to this.
Yeah, and I think Ofcom is probably going to say yes, but it's kind of formally got to run this consultation just to see if anybody's got any objections about it. And down near you then, so in Dorset, Shaftesbury is moving as well.
That's right, yeah. Basically, Shaftesbury currently associated with the southwest, which is everything coming from Bristol, I guess. They want to change it so it goes into the south region, doing this from memory, because it would be more associated with all the Dorset stations, and it would have programmes come from Hampshire, which is a bit closer. I don't know if it's geographically closer, but at least it would put the Shaftesbury licence in with the other Dorset stations, which, when you look at it on a map, which you can do on radiotoday.co.uk, it makes a little bit more sense.
Nice little plug there. Staying in the southwest, a story about Radio X this week, which has launched a crowdfunding campaign. Now, this is Radio EXE in Exeter, Radio X, not Radio X, which is obviously different.
Yeah, and the Radio X in Exeter has a presenter called Ashley. So you could quite easily talk about Ashley from Radio X and be totally confused about that. But yeah, this is the, as they say, the last remaining commercial radio station in the area for miles and miles after Radio Plymouth was sold to Bauer. That's not a done deal, by the way. Or it might be by now, being put through at the end of the month. So that was sold to Bauer. And of course, the Breeze is now part of GHR in the wider southwest region. And they're asking for £82,500 to keep it going until Easter, which is when they figure they'll be back on their feet. £82,000 on a fundraiser to keep a commercial radio station going. Is that the dumb thing, Stuart? What do you think?
Well, people seem to be donating. I think at the time of recording, they've raised about £16,000, and there are various rewards that you can get by donating. And the Anoraks listening will enjoy this because you can get goodie bags just by making a donation, or they'll give you the chance to read the weather forecast or read the news on the radio station. So they'll write it for you and you get to read it out. So if you pay 50 quid, you can read the news bulletin or something like that. So that'll get the geeks donating at least, which I suppose helps.
Such a hard time for commercial radio stations. And I went to the launch of the new studio. They've got brand new studios, all beautiful. They've even got lights that change color. It's that posh in their new studios. So I do hope they survive, but is it a matter of time? Is Capital going to expand? Is GHR going to expand into the area? It's just, you know, are they just treading water? You don't know the answer.
No, I don't know the answer. And clearly, you know, if you own a radio station and you think it's viable and you want to make some money from it, then you want to carry on doing that. But if somebody comes along with a checkbook and you need £80,000 just to keep yourself going until Easter 6 months away, then, you know, if Bauer come along and say, well, we'll cover that and we'll give you some more money to buy your shares off you, or Global for that matter, or somebody else, then you can see why it's happened in lots of other local areas, can't you?
Well, good luck to them, and hope they get through the troubling times.
Tell me about Podplay, Roy, or is it Podplay from the logo?
Podplay. So I heard about this was a press release saying that Podplay has launched, and this is Bauer's new platform for creating and publishing podcasts. Basically, launched in Sweden and Finland this week. It was already running in Norway, but it's not. I mean, you can access it here. You can go to podplay.com and you can see everything. It's even got content from UK radio stations, all the Kiss and Absolute, but also from Global. So Chris Moyles is on there, and some community radio stuff as well. So there's loads of UK stuff, but this thing is only available or only targeted at Sweden, Finland, and Norway. So a little bit confusing. I thought Planet Radio was the one to bring everything together, but this new one has appeared called Podplay. I don't know what's going on.
Let's stop calling it Podplay. Let's just call it Podplay.
Have you seen the logo, though?
Yeah, it's a big O. It's a big long O.
It's Podplay.
Or maybe it's trying to say poo. Pooed play.
That would just be rubbish.
Childish. I'll look it up. I've not actually been on that yet. I haven't had a chance, but I'll go and have a look. What does it say? Podplay.com. I'll go and have a look.
Yep, spot on. Podplay.com, your home for podcasts.
Okay, I'll have a look. TalkSport is looking for 3 new apprentices to join its production team. This looks like a great opportunity. They've been pushing this on their social media this week to get some new people involved in radio, and you get qualification with it as well. There's various bits of training done through Press Association and others, and you get a BJTC accredited thing at the end of it. Applications have opened this week, and the closing day is the 12th of October. I think the only stipulation is you have to be over 18. So apprenticeships these days are not just for young people, but it's a great opportunity to get into TalkSport. If that's somewhere, if you're just starting out in radio and looking for an opportunity, definitely have a look at that. And the end of an era this week for Keith Skews. We're going to hear his final sign-off from BBC Local Radio in the East at the end of this podcast. So stay tuned for that, a kind of modern radio moment, a future radio moment, let's call it that.
That's a good idea. We could put, I don't know the legalities on this, but we could put the radio show of the week or something like that at the end of the podcast, because we've nothing else now, have we? Apart from you saying bye.
Yeah, when have legalities ever stopped us doing anything on this podcast?
That's true.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Next on the Radio Today programme, let's talk to someone who's been at the eye of, well, a little mini media storm this week after quitting his radio show quite publicly. It's Jamie East. Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing? A mini media storm. Wonderful. Finally.
So, yeah, so you announced this on Monday on Twitter that the day before your show on Sunday on Talk Radio was your last at the station. You've been there for a few years now. Tell us, in your own words, why you decided to quit.
Well, I mean, it was a combination of things, really, but ultimately it was the fact that as you and most listeners who work in radio know, you don't often get the chance to leave a job. You know, you normally get their boot. So it was quite nice to reach the decision on my own. And I did decide, and I knew that Talk Radio and I hadn't seen eye to eye, not in terms of any kind of arguments or anything like that, but politically and I guess editorially for some time. And that's no kind of real detriment to where they want to go, and it's no real detriment to where I want to go. It just wasn't a fit anymore. I'd probably make their teeth itch with how lefty liberal snowflakey I am, and on the flip side, I didn't really want to be on a station where we were condoning people cutting up masks on air, which just seemed just hugely irresponsible. So that was the kind of straw that broke the camel's back. And you know, obviously it just took me, I had to get my affairs in order before I could make the jump.
Yeah, so this is this video of Mark Dolan, who did his drive on a Friday from, you know, a few weeks ago, which they'd shared on their socials. It's obviously something he did on air. A couple of million people have watched it on Twitter. He cut up a mask, said, you know, we should be ignoring the government rules, getting on with our life. So not very responsible. I mean, Ofcom obviously will look at whether they need to take any action about that. But as you say, it doesn't publicly look very good.
No, it doesn't. And it's always a tricky one, Stuart, because, you know, as most of us know, balanced talk radio doesn't particularly work very well. You know, it just doesn't. It's just not a genre that reaches a wide audience, which is why you need to go one way or the other, I think. And that's certainly been proved over in America, and it's starting to become more prevalent over here. So I can understand the contrary arguing and the desire for creating a bit of outrage and all the rest of it. But speaking as someone who had COVID quite early on and having relatives that have died from it and knowing people who have lost families and not been able to attend funerals of people that attend COVID, I find it pretty vulgar and horrible to see someone like Mark, who I know, you know, don't get me wrong, we're not going to punch each other in the street or anything. You know, I know and respect Mark as a broadcaster. I just think that it was an extremely misjudged heat of the moment kind of thing, where somebody was trying to create a bit of a name for themselves and after a few more shifts, and it was just massively misjudged. They did not read the room well, not my room anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not just Talk Radio. I mean, there's other stations probably guilty of this as well to some extent. That
exactly. And as video becomes weirdly more important to radio, certainly Talk Radio, that'll only increase as well. And it's just, you know, each to their own. It was just something that I just didn't want to be part of. I just didn't feel as though I could justify kind of being sympathetic to sufferers of COVID and then having that as a stablemate. It just didn't feel right.
I suppose you're fortunate in that you've got some other things that you do, and it was just a weekly show that you were doing. Do you think there might be people who think, well, this is my livelihood, I can't walk away?
You know, I'd negotiated a very good show rate, Stuart, so it wasn't...
That was why it took you weeks to decide to give it up.
It was a bit of a wrangle. But you know, I got a good agent. But it's, you know, yes, I only had a weekly show. I'd done a lot of shows for Talk Radio in the past. I'd done a lot of cover shows. Originally I was asked to come, I left Virgin because they asked me if I wanted to drive there, but that didn't transpire. And at the beginning, it was a lot of fun, but you know, the shifts dried up because my face didn't fit. I knew that. And that's just how being a broadcaster is, you know, that's just life. So it wasn't, you know, obviously it wasn't a huge life changing decision to leave, but you know, enough for me to kind of have a bit of a think about it.
Yeah. I'm just thinking a few years ago when Wireless got bought out by News, and there were quite high profile departures, people like Colin Murray and Stan Collymore, who said, you know, I'm not going to work for Murdoch and I'm quitting.
Yeah.
There were people at the time in Wireless saying to us privately, you know, I'd love to be able to afford to just walk away from a daily show like Colin Murray can do. So it's a harder choice to put your morals above your income.
Yeah, look, it is. And, you know, I'd be lying if I said it was 100% a moral choice. You know, I'd done 2 years on a Sunday, and I quite fancied spending time with the kids. and also the Smart 7 has become a big success, and that's early mornings, and it was just getting a bit too much. So yeah, you know, a lot, I couldn't say anything about working for Murdoch. I've worked for Rupert Murdoch for most of my professional life. You know, I started work at Sky. I continue to do work at Sky even though he's not there. I was the film editor at The Sun. I'd done video work for The Sun. So I'm not a Murdoch basher. I owe News UK a lot. You know, they've been very good to me. It's just in this instance, nah, not for me.
And the way that talk radio is changing, as you say, it's perhaps trying to chase headlines a bit more, and it is a crowded marketplace with LBC doing so well and Times Radio now coming along. So I guess it probably needs to be controversial. It needs to carve out a niche for itself, because otherwise, what's the point in having talk radio and Times Radio as a company if they're doing the same thing?
Yeah, I think that was the fork in the roads, I think, for wireless, really, was Times Radio appearing and having this, you know, kind of remit and a lovely remit that they have, which is no advertisers, don't worry about the advertisers, no confrontation, just make good radio, which is, you know, sounds like a bloody dream, doesn't it? And I did apply to be part of the Times Radio team. I would have loved to have been part of it, but it wasn't to be. And then when you know that Times Radio is going one way, talk radio is ever only going to go the other.
And obviously, you know, we talked about you being there four and a bit years. Obviously, you went to wireless to work as a music presenter on Virgin. So how did you find that switch to doing music presentation when I don't think it was something you'd done before?
No, well, I'd never done
obviously
any...
been TV presenting and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'd done TV and, you know, just an all-round gob on a stick, really. So I was lucky that... the launch PD of Virgin Radio, Liam Thompson, was great. And, you know, you don't get mentors like that very often. I certainly haven't had one like that since. And, you know, he obviously saw something in me that he liked. And Liam Fisher as well at Wireless, you know, just championed for me, really. I was only ever expecting, a Sunday show with Virgin. Then they offered me mid-mornings. It was great. And I really enjoyed it. You know, I was given a lot of freedom in the early days of Virgin. And as it turned out, too much, because they changed their mind and wanted it to be all about the music. So I was first out.
So moving on from then to now, you've launched this new podcast that started, I think, a few months ago now, The Smart 7. And it's,
yeah,
I like it. It's kind of a little bit more quirky than some kind of daily news podcasts, and it's, yeah, you know, it's very to the point, and it gets on with it. Tell us why you decided to launch it, first of all.
Funnily enough, it's with Liam Thompson, my original PD from Virgin Radio, who's still based over in Ireland where he lives. We got together and we wanted to work together again, and, you know, I'd been producing and presenting and making podcasts for some time, not just for myself but for other people as well, and I guess just spotted the trend, you know, and got a sense that shorter and daily is where it was heading. So, you know, me and Liam sat down and worked out what we wanted to do together. Okay, well, if it's going to be short and daily, what can it be? And it's the obvious thing was news. And I think you're right, it's quirkier and has a bit more of an independent voice than traditional news outlets. You know, we're up against New York Times, The Times, you know, the Financial Times, all of these huge brands with, you know, 50 people working on them and millions of pounds budgets. And Liam and I came up with a bit of a secret sauce way to make the Smart 7 cheaply and quickly, and but maintaining, like I say, a bit of cheekiness to it as well. I think it was important. I think, you know, whatever I've done as a broadcaster or as a writer or when I was running Holy Moly way back in the day, is always to talk to people how they talk to each other. And I think the Smart 7 does that.
And yeah, you mentioned the competition. You know, Times, Telegraph, Guardian, FT, Sky, all throwing lots of money at daily podcasts and daily kind of news briefings. How do you cut through that when you don't necessarily have the big books to do the marketing? Because you are doing very well in the charts. It's about having a good product, but how do you get it out there?
Stuart, whenever you start doing podcasts, the one thing you don't want to hear from anybody is that there isn't a secret way. It's just boring, hard work. And sadly, that turned out to be the case. It's been, you know, 5 a.m. starts for both of us for the past, well, 6 months, you know, 5 days a week. And then we get on and do the day jobs that make the money at the moment. So it's about regularity and it's about consistency and tweaking as well. You know, it's we've tried to treat it quite radio-like, which is almost the antithesis of podcasts. But the production of the Smart 7 sounds a bit more polished than I guess a regular independent podcast would do. You know, we've put a lot of time and effort into the processing, into the compression, into the, you know, into the stings, into the beds and all that kind of stuff that you would normally do if you were doing a breakfast show. Because the idea was that it would be the breakfast show news bulletin that wouldn't interrupt your daily commute podcast. You know, if you listen to Adam Buxton, you could still listen to the Smart 7. Obviously, we launched it in the first week of the pandemic, so we've never really had time to test out the commuting theory. But, you know, it seems to be going well so far.
And you're expanding it as well, because you've got a sport one now as well. And I guess there are lots of different kind of spin-offs that you could do from your idea.
Yeah, so we launched the sport one the beginning of September. That's going really well. We're doing that with Mike Beauville, who is the launch director for TalkSport 2. And yeah, that's a slightly more niche, you know, even though it's sport, it's still slightly more niche than regular news. And, you know, it's helping. Our idea was always to have a network and always have several kind of strings to the Sport 7 or the Smart 7 bow so that they can bounce off each other and feed each other and all the rest of it. And it's working quite well. So yeah, we've got plans for, you know, at least a couple more eventually when we can fit the time in.
Now, we recommend having a listen. So it's thesmart7.com where you can find that, and obviously in all the usual podcast places as well.
We're also, you know, we're part of the Spotify Daily Drive, which has been a huge kind of boost to us. And it was really nice and pleasing and satisfying that Spotify chose us as a kind of independent news podcast, and we are nestled in among TalkSport. Yeah, weirdly, all of my wireless friends, you know, the Times, TalkSport, and I think the Financial Times and the Economist are in there as well. So, and then there's little old us with our kind of like bright pink logo, just shouting and taking the mick out of Matt Hancock. So, you know, that's been a pleasing development.
Fantastic. Well, lots of luck with that. And while you're on, you mentioned Holy Moly. Obviously, you know, the state of showbiz coverage and gossip and things like that. I think you obviously, you know, sold Holy Moly. And then when they closed it, they said the world's changed. People are getting their gossip from other places now. Are we in a good place for gossip and rumour with social media as it is at the minute, do you think?
Well, I mean, social media killed off celebrity gossip stone dead because, you know, when fans could hear straight from the celebrities, you know, keyboards, rather than having to wait for the papers on a Sunday or even the websites the next day, you know, there was nothing really that anyone could do, regardless of whether a story was true. A celebrity could have a counter argument directly on Twitter to 10 million people. I think it ebbs and flows. The way that our appetite for showbiz and celebrity, certainly in the UK, is very cyclic. We have a kind of love hate, and you know, we go through periods of being quite reverential to celebrities and holding them up in awe and you know, and all the rest of it. And then a few years later, we, you know, in true British style, just want to give them a good shooing. And I'm not quite sure where we are in that cycle now. I suspect we're heading back towards that. I'm out of it now, though. Goodness me, so too tiring.
Yeah, it depends. I guess it depends a little bit on whether the tabloids and the people at the Daily Mail celebrity columns are a fan of yours. Steve Wright seems to be getting a kick in almost weekly at the moment, just for, you know, here is Steve Wright going shopping, and it turns into a negative story about him. So,
oh yeah, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, it's just weird. But it's always, well, what's the real story here? And of course, the real story that they don't like mentioning is the fact that he's just earning a decent chunk of money at the BBC, and that's why they really hate Steve Wright. And but actually, I love the fact that actually those stories have been going for years, and no one cares. Everyone still loves him, you know, because he's Steve Wright, and he's really, really good at his job. You know?
Exactly. But it makes you wonder why the hell people are writing these in, you know, in newsrooms. But there we go.
The currency is in the pictures. Always
the
has
clicks
been.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Well, super to talk to you, Jamie. And maybe we'll hear you on the radio again one day, as you say, you know, never say never.
You never bloody know, do you, with radio? That's the thing with radio. You can get called back in 20 years' time and people, you know, it feels just like yesterday.
What a nice man. That's Jamie East talking to me here on the Radio Today programme. Do check out his podcast. Just before we finish, a reminder about Clean Feed. It's great for doing outside broadcasts, if there's any of those going on at the moment. Also, interviews for your show or your podcast, co-hosting from somewhere different to usual. Clean Feed all works in your browser to connect in live studio quality, depending on what you got plugged in at either end. And it's great for both radio and podcasts as well. The quality is fab, and you can even record within your browser. There is a completely free version, so you can get started today without paying any money. It'll just take you 30 seconds or so to sign up, and you'll be doing your first live interview or recording for your show or podcast within minutes. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. And now, as we get used to life after David Lloyd's Radio Moments, we thought we'd finish with this this week. It's a radio moment for the future, something we might be talking about in the years to come. On Sunday night, BBC Radio Norfolk was home to the last Keith Skew show of all. At the age of 81, he's finished his late-night slot on the BBC in the East. From BFBS to Radio Atlanta, Radio Caroline, Luxie, Radio London, on to Radio 1 on launch day, Radio Hallam, and BBC Local Radio in the East for the last 25 years. Here's Keith Skews signing off.
Listening to that song by Frank Sinatra once again, and the words, "Regrets, I've had a few. I, too, have regrets never finding time to settle down with a good lady wife. I've been very lucky with girlfriends all my life, but I always put my career first, and that was probably a big mistake because I was very selfish. But from a broadcasting point of view, it's been an incredible broadcasting life, spanning 61 years. Please allow me to thank you for all the wonderful cards, letters, emails, and phone messages received over the last 3 weeks, and to listeners who've been in touch with me for many, many years. I joined BBC Radio Norfolk in April 1995, but I hope I have helped make some of you happy during the last 25 years or so. There have been many RPAs, radio production assistants, on my shows spanning those years, and without them, the programme would not have been so successful. They know who they are, and my thanks to each and every one of them. To all of you listening to this programme, I wish you happiness and great success for whatever you do in the future. Maybe we will meet again over these airwaves, I hope so, but that decision rests firmly with BBC management.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.